Okay, let's take our Bible now and back to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 14. Let's read verse 14 again. These, that is talking about the enemies of the gospel, they're of one mind to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall make war with the Lamb, or against the Lamb. Talking about the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. And the Lamb shall overcome. That word means to conquer. He'll conquer them because he is Lord, because he is King, because he is the God of all the earth, Lord of lords and King of kings. And then he gives this description of those that are with him. God's people are one with him, as we read in John 17. Those who are with him are called, they're chosen, and they're faithful. Now, what a good description. What a good description. With these three words, all who are born of God are described by this heavenly messenger of God. What a good, true, and fit description the Lord calls his people, whom he has redeemed and bought with his precious blood. They are indeed called of God. They are indeed chosen of God. They are indeed faithful unto God because they've been made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where do you want to be found when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? And he's coming back soon. Revelation chapter 1 said he's on his way. He's on his way. Where do you want to be found when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? I want to be found in him. Be found in him, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I want to be found in him. I want to be found one with him. Found in union with him. Found in union with him in that eternal covenant of grace. That's the mind of wisdom, as it says in verse 9. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The mind who has wisdom wants to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Salvation in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. These who are opposed to God shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb always wins. You remember back in chapter 16, turn over there. Verse 13, it describes what I call the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity, these make war with the Lamb. And I saw, verse 13, three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the great red dragon, Satan himself. And out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, that unholy trinity, these are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. All the hellish forces of Satan and the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth and the false prophets and Antichrist, they all come together to make war against the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know the message of the revelation is this. He wins. He wins. He always wins. He must win. We studied in Revelation chapter 6. Where it says, he went forth conquering and to conquer. Our Lord said to those disciples in John 16, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have conquered. I have overcome. I have overcome. And we overcome the enemies of the gospel. We overcome our sin, death, hell, and the grave. We overcome only one way. You want to know what that way is? Turn back to chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon, which cast out that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. How do we overcome? Only in Christ. It's unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice. The lamb slain is the only sacrifice that God will accept for an atonement for sin. No other. Don't bring any other. Don't look for any other. No other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now all those enemies that we read about in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 17, these have one mind. Their one mind is rebellion against Almighty God, rebellion against God's purpose, and shall give their power and strength to the beast. The beast, all those enemies to the Lord and his church, are bound to fail in all their attempt to unseat the Lord Jesus Christ from his throne, a universal and absolute dominion. Remember the number of that beast? 666. What does that mean? Failure, failure, failure. Man is a failure in every aspect. Though kings and governments of this world are supported by Babylon and the harlot of false religion, are supported by the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, their doom is certain and sure. Perdition it's called. These shall go into perdition. They are of one mind and one purpose to destroy the Lord's church. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember what he said to Peter? Upon this rock, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. You cannot prevail against God Almighty. He wins. They have one mind and one aim, the enemies of God. One aim and one goal, to destroy the true church of Christ. They give their support and strength unto the beast, their time and their energy. But it's all in vain. Their number is 666. Failure, failure, failure. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords over all kings and presidents, over all governments and over all rulers of this wicked world, over all demon spirits, over all opposition. He is King. He is God over all. He is King of all the earth. The psalmist put it this way, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he does. In heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. All deep places. He is described, you remember in chapter 19, look at one page, turn one page over. The Word of God, he is called, his name is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings, Lord of lords. Lay down in submission to this one who was almighty. Don't fight against God. You lose. I like what the apostle writes when he writes to the Colossians, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them himself. He didn't need our help. He defeated all the enemies of God. Now, look at verse 14 for just a moment. Four things I want to point out here in verse 14. And this is a good fit description of everyone who is a believer. Everyone who is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. They that are with him, God's people are one with him. Secondly, they are called. You see that? Thirdly, they are chosen. And then, because of all that, they are faithful. They are faithful. Now, they're one with him. Here we see that blessed union with Christ from all eternity in that blessed eternal covenant of grace. He chose us unto salvation. He chose us and he made us one with him in that eternal union, in that covenant of grace. Our Lord prayed about that in John 17. We read it just a moment ago. John 17, 21. Let me just read it to you again. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, one with Christ before God Almighty. And he said, the love wherewith thou hast loved me, thou hast loved them in me. Those that are not with Christ, our Lord said this, those who are not with me are against me. You see, in this thing, there's no neutral ground. You can't say, well, I'm just going to be neutral. You can't be neutral. Our Lord said this, he that is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. I want to be with one with him. While many want to make war with the Lamb of God, these believers, by the grace of God, are made one with him. The elect of God are with him now, always have been one with him, and will be one with Christ forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read Romans 8, there's an exhaustive list. It says nothing, height nor depth, nor any other creature, nor any other thing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. No separation. And then the first part of Romans chapter 8 starts with this. No condemnation. No condemnation and no separation. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, because it's God who had justified us. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We were one with him when he stood as a surety in that eternal covenant of grace. He's called the surety of a better covenant. He's the guarantee of our salvation. He is our assurance. He is the surety of salvation. Our Lord put it this way in John 6, all that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me, and those that come to me, I will never cast them out. We're one with him. We're one with Christ as he lived a perfect life in the flesh as a representative man upon the earth, representing us and working out for us a perfect righteousness before God, honoring the law of God for us. Our Lord said in Matthew 5, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to honor it. You see, what he did as a representative man, we did in him. What's true of him is true of us. We're one with him. What he did when he honored the law of God, magnifying the law of God for us, we did that in him. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 5. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Those two representative men. God's going to deal with all men in those two men. All mankind in those two men. In Adam, all died. He represented by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Here's the second man, the Lord from heaven. The second Adam, he's called. By his obedience shall many be made righteous. You see, what he did, we did. In him, being in union with him. We're one with him, not only as he lived, honoring the law of God for us in every precept, but we were one with him as he died for our sins, according to the scripture. And the penalty of that law says the guilty must die. You know, Paul said we are crucified with Christ. He's our representative man before God. And when he dies for the sin of God's people laid upon him, we were crucified in him. When he died, we died. When he lived, we lived. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. We can't come any other way but in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. But see, we're one with him in eternity in that covenant. We're one with him as he came as a God-man mediator to honor the law of God. We're one with him when he died upon Calvary's tree, identified with him. We were crucified in Christ. We were one with him when he rose from the grave. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Matter of fact, so much so that Paul, when he writes Romans, Ephesians chapter 4, when he said, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly in the Lord Jesus Christ." Right now, you're looking at a sinner that's already seated in heaven. Preacher, you're crazy. In my substitute, in my representative, I'm already seated in the heavenlies. God said so. God said so. We are accepted in the Beloved. You see, when he sat down, we sat down in him. He's the forerunner who entered in and seated. And we're in him. We're in union with him. What's true of him is true of us. Where he is, that's where we are. We are one with him in our hearts by faith and purpose. His cause is our cause. His purpose is our purpose. His desire is our desire. We glory in him. If God be for us, who can be against us? Come on now. Who can be against us? If God's for us, if we're one with him in Christ, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He challenges heaven, earth, and hell. None can lay any charge against God's elect. You see, we're justified completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the first point. We are one with him. That being so, from all eternity, what happens in time? We're called. We're called. He calls us. What does he call us with? He calls us with the preaching of the gospel. They that are with him are called. All that are with him are with him by the effectual, irresistible call of God, the Holy Spirit, in regenerating grace. Remember when Paul writes to young Timothy from death row? And reminds him, said, "Don't be ashamed of me, nor of the gospel, because it's God who saved us. It's the power of God who saved us and called us." Get that? He saved us, and then he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. God, because we're one with him in that eternal covenant of grace, in time, he crosses our path and he calls us. Not just with a hearing of the ear, he calls us in our heart. In our heart. Peter writes about it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He said, "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. And that they should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He calls us. Now, there is that, what the old timers used to call, there is that general call of the gospel. When the gospel is preached, there is that general call that goes out to all men who audibly hear when the gospel is preached, for sinners to look to Christ, to bow to Christ, to submit to him, to come to him. But that call alone, that general call alone, will not bring the sinner to Christ in faith. Has to be something else. That call has to be there. That preaching of the gospel has to be there. But there has to be that call of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God quickening us, enlightening us, drawing us, bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does this effectually. Effectually. There is that irresistible, invincible, quickening call of God the Holy Spirit. "You hath he quickened who were dead. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth." Our Lord said this in John 6. "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." It is a prevailing call. It's a prevailing call. It's a personal call. Matthew, follow me. Zacchaeus, up that sycamore tree. "Make haste to come down. Today I must abide at your house." You see, it's a prevailing call. It's a powerful call. It's a personal call. Lazarus, been dead 4 days. Come forth. And he that was dead came forth. You see, it's a prevailing call because it's a call of God. It's a personal call. The foundation of God standeth sure, having a seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows them by name, his sheep. It's a powerful call. It's a call of God that will bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. You see, they are one with him and they are called to him. Here's the third thing. Those that are one with him are chosen. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We read a moment ago. They are chosen, chosen. The call of the Holy Spirit with the gospel is the proof and evidence of our eternal election in Christ Jesus. How do you know anything about God electing a people and choosing a people? The only way we know about that is by our calling. Our election is known by our calling. God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls us with the gospel. And that's the evidence of being chosen of God and chosen from all eternity. The fact that we're called in time with the gospel is the evidence of our eternal election in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our election is known by our calling. Peter writes about it this way. Make your calling and election sure. Make it sure. Now, if you can turn to this if you want to, you don't have to, but find 1 Thessalonians over here, 1 Thessalonians. When Paul writes about brethren knowing, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, how do we know anything about God from eternity choosing us unto salvation? It's known by our calling. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, we did hear the word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. Joy of heart. Joy. Rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, back to Revelation 17. The Lamb shall overcome them. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. They that are with him, they're one with him. They're called. They're chosen. And last, they're faithful. They're faithful. Those who are one with him, those who are called by him, those who are chosen in him, and election is in him. He is the elect. We're chosen in him. God had blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. They are called, chosen, and lastly, they are faithful. Those who are one with him are faithful. This is the sure and certain results of being called, being chosen. Believers are faithful unto death. That is, they persevere in faith and are faithful to the cause of God and his gospel. They've been given the precious gift of faith. That which is given of God does not diminish or disappear. That which is given of God is a perfect gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. That God doesn't give faith and then take it back. God gives faith and we continue in the faith. We continue coming to Christ. We continue looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue in repentance. We continue in faith. We continue unto death until he calls us home. They are made faithful servants to God and his church by his grace. And we can say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. They are kept by his power. Turn over here to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 1. 1 Peter 1, 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, according to the foreordination of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, that's regeneration, conviction of sin, which brings us to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We say His blood is all our atonement before God. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. We're kept by the power of God through what? Faith. There's that faith. Looking unto Christ, coming unto Christ through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Does that describe you? Does those words describe you there? I know what we are by nature. Sinners. Guilty, vile, wretched. But here we see what God has made us by His grace. He's made us one with Him. He has called us unto Himself with the gospel. He has chosen us in that eternal covenant of grace. And He has made us faithful unto death. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11 where it describes all those believers who have died in faith. And it says to them, these all died in faith. May God bless His word. May God bless you with His gospel truth.